Welcome back to our second lesson on invisible things clearly seen. Let's reread our verse in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world or by means of the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It is such a powerful revelation of God, it renders every man, woman, boy, and girl born since Adam and Eve all the way down to the last one born in the end of the age inexcusable, whether they have heard a gospel preached message or read a Bible or not, because God has not left himself without witness. That's what he says. He has not left himself without witness. I think that's in Acts. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's in Acts 14, I think. Let me see if it is. Acts 14 and verse number 16, who in times past permitted all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So he says God has given himself witness, even though the nations were allowed to walk their own ways. Yet they have a witness that renders them inexcusable. And what is that? That's the heavens declaring the glory of God. And we see that in Psalm 19. David begins to write, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Creation is speaking every day. And night unto night showeth knowledge. The nighttime, the darkness, is not without its witness. There is no speech, and there is no language where their voice is not heard. So creation has a voice, whether daylight or dark. Their line, their precepts, their voice, their rule, their direction is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom. When the sun comes up, it's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. That's what the psalmist saw every morning when the sun came up. He said, it reminds me of a bridegroom coming out of his chamber ready to be married. And it rejoiceth, or the sun rejoiceth as a strong man ready to run a race. Now, let's quickly go to John chapter 3. And see one of the most powerful things that is invisible, that has been a great witness that God has given. And he said he has not left himself without witness. And what is that? John chapter 3 and verse number 7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now listen to verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wills. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He said, don't be marveling and don't be confused or amazed that I say you must be born again. He said, being born again is an invisible thing that cannot be seen, but you accept the wind that cannot be seen, and you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. A lot of these weathermen with their Doppler radar don't know either. And he says, the new birth is like the wind blowing where it wills, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There is something of the revelation and the witness of God about the physical birth. It has to do, like David said in Psalm 19, the sun coming up in the morning is like a man all decked out in his wedding garment coming out of his chamber to meet his bride and to be married. It's like a strong man coming out in the beginning of the day to run a race. That's what he saw about the sun coming up and peeking up over the horizon every morning. He writes in his Psalm 19, every day has knowledge, every night has wisdom, and every word is spoken by them in every language throughout the earth. There's no language, no voice, no speech where their voice is not heard. So God has not left himself without witness, and he has given us the invisible things of the person and glory of God, the power of God, the Godhead of God, and he's not left himself without witness of his own personal self, because these things that are made clearly reveal the things of the invisibility of God. Again, we're not talking about just invisible things. We're talking about things which cannot be perceived by the senses, but they can be perceived by the Spirit. I want us to go back, thinking about that John 3:8, to the book of Genesis. Go back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 1 at the first birth. And at the very beginning of this, we see, dear soul, that this natural birth gives us understanding of the spiritual birth. And John 3:3 says, you can't see the kingdom of God without the birth. You can't see the world without being born into it. Verse 5 says that you cannot enter the kingdom of God without the new birth. So you cannot enter into the things and the activities of life without your birth. So these are the things that God is saying unto us. And he said in verse 8 that it's like the wind blowing. Everybody that's born of the Spirit is like the wind blowing that you can't see, but you have the effect of it on you. And we know in Acts chapter 2 that there were those that were gathered together. I'm going to mess it up. Let me read it to you. The book of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, Acts 2, 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, how? As of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The first evidence of the new birth, the first evidence of the kingdom of God coming, the spiritual invisible kingdom of God coming. The day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all together in one place, in one accord, waiting on the Lord. God said, okay, it's time. How did he introduce the Holy Spirit into the realm of men for the first time? Replacing the old economy and setting it aside and bringing in the new economy and establishing the kingdom of God as spiritual and not the kingdom of Israel anymore. He did it by the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And that's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, as recorded in our Bibles in John 3:8. The wind makes a sound. You can't tell where it comes, where it goes. That's how everyone is that is born of the Spirit. Hang on to that. Now, we go back to chapter 4 of Genesis and verse number 1. And we want to begin just looking at some of these things, of the things that were revealed to people by them seeing a birth. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 1, and Adam, knew his wife. That is, they had conjugal relationships, physical relationships. He came into her and they planted his male seed into her female womb. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. That is, within her womb, the egg was fertilized by the sperm, and bare Cain and said, once her husband had come into her and they had become one flesh in the birthing of the conception of Cain, she had a revelation. She said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And that's what the word Cain means in Hebrew. It means to acquire or gotten. That's why she named him that. I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, physically speaking, she was right. This was the first reproduction that had ever been on planet Earth. A woman had produced a baby. It's amazing. Wasn't any birthing centers, no hospitals, no medications. It just God took care of it, and she had a baby. And out of her body came a human being. It was such a revelation to her that she said, this is not just me and Adam. This is me getting a man from God. So she named him Cain, which means acquired or gotten. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, I think it is, yeah, in verse number 12, we find out that this was not a man from God, spiritually speaking. She did have a man from God. It was a human being. It was a male. He was a male. So she got a man, and it had to be God that did it. And it says in verse 12 of 1 John 3, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. So she was wrong in that if she meant I have gotten me a spiritual man from God. Well, he did have a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And it was not the Messiah. It was not the man that God prophesied in Genesis 3:15, as we know that that's when God first presented the gospel. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It wasn't this Messiah that was going to bruise the head of the serpent that came forth, but it was a man from God. The point I'm making is this. With that birth came a revelation. It included her and God. It doesn't say she hugged her husband's neck and kissed him on the face and said, look what you did, look what we did together. She said, I've gotten me a man from God. There was a spiritual and divine revelation with this first birth. Jesus said this is one of the things that is made that reveals the invisibility of God Almighty, so that we are without excuse. You say, well, these people over here in darkest Africa, they didn't have Bibles and they didn't hear the gospel. How can God judge them as being wicked? Because they're all born. If you have ever been involved in a birth, and if you're a human being, you was involved in your birth. If you've ever been involved, maybe you and your wife or you and your husband had a child, you are rendered inexcusable, because that is one of the things that reveals the invisible things of God. She says, I have gotten me a man from God. So God's power and God's headship was seen in her marriage, was seen in this marvelous, amazing thing. This child came forth from her body, and it was cast back upon her body to receive sustenance. Dear soul, we are brought forth from the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He creates us, and he is our bread, that we are cast back upon him to feast off of him, to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Figuratively, as the scripture, as he said. Now, let's go on to chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5. And I find this to be greatly instructive. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 25, verse 21, I'm sorry. Genesis 5, 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. 65 years. What did he do? I don't know. Did he go to school? I don't know. Was he a farmer? I don't know. What did he do in the 65 years? It's not told us. Excuse me. The only thing that it says in Genesis 5:21 that is of any consequence to the spiritual revelation of the Word of God, the reason that it's in your Bible is there was a birth. That's it. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now, the next verse. And Methuselah walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Did he walk with God before he begat Methuselah? I don't think so. It doesn't say anything about it. The only thing it says that Enoch did, that was of any consequence in the first 65 years of his life was he begat Methuselah. Now then, after he begat Methuselah, he walked with God. Eve had not been attributed as saying anything like she said as recorded in Genesis 4:1 until she had a baby. Jesus said, the Spirit of God is like the wind causing those who are born again to come into existence. You can't see it. But there is a manifestation. This rushing mighty wind at Pentecost was a manifestation of the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the births are those things that cause God's invisibility to be clearly seen. It is one of the evidences of invisible things and brings them forth to be clearly seen. Eve had a baby. I've got me a man from God. Enoch lived 65 years. What you want us to write about it? Nothing. Why? Because he didn't do anything. He didn't have anything to do with God. Didn't seem like God had anything to do with him. Kept him alive for 65 years. Gave him something to eat, place to sleep, warm clothes. Evidently he had a wife. Because it says after 65 years, his wife had a baby boy. And it was at that point that Enoch, who is said not to have died, before God took him, started walking with God. When? After the birth of that boy. He must be born again. The Spirit blows where it wills, hears the sound thereof, can't tell where it comes, where it goes, but you know something happened because you were born of the Spirit like the wind blowing. Everyone, Jesus said, notice that in John 3:8. John 3:8, verse 8, it says, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There is a blowing of the wind. There is a coming of the Holy Spirit. There is a revelation of God to do with the natural birth. It bespeaks of how we are born spiritually speaking. Eve had a baby. What do you have her recorded as saying about God up to this point? Not much, if anything. But what do you have when she has a baby? I have gotten me a man from God. There was a direct relationship between her and God in her mind, in her heart, when that baby came. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Take one thing that is made, what? Woman having a baby. Human beings being born. Just take that one thing. And let's look at the Bible and see how many times does it say in our Bible that people were greatly moved upon by natural procreation, by natural birth. There's Enoch. How's he doing? I don't know. There ain't much to it. Anything to write home about? Nope. What you want to put in the daily news about it? Well, there ain't no story there. He just lived. But after 65 years, he begets Methuselah. Now you have something to write about him. Genesis 5:22, and Enoch walked with God, and it specifically says, After he begat Methuselah, he walked with God 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Nothing about God in his life for 65 years. Boom. A birth. The natural things revealing the things of the spiritual and the invisible things clearly seen. Something happened to old Enoch when that boy was born. And for the next 300 years, he walked with God. And it says in verse 23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. He lived 365 years. How do you divide that up? 65 years, nothing. Then how does it get to be something? His wife has a baby. The baby's name is Methuselah. Methuselah is going to live longer than anybody else has lived. And when he dies, the flood comes. Evidently, figuratively speaking now, this didn't literally happen. There was a message on that baby's diaper that said, when he dies, the flood's going to come. God's going to destroy the world. There was some kind of revelation that came to Enoch because he didn't have anything to do with God worth mentioning as far as the scriptures are concerned for 65 years. How long did he live? 365 years. Well, okay, after that 65 years, in that 300 years, what do you have to write? Well, we have a lot to write because it says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Listen, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And listen, Enoch had a grandson. Methuselah had a boy, Lamech. And here it comes on down. It's coming on down. But it's not a baby book. Well, here's his daddy and here's his son and here's his grandson. It's talking about the invisible things of God are clearly seen by the things that are made. Well, what was the most momentous thing that was given to reveal God? Well, Abraham had the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. That was his Bible. What was Enoch's Bible? His wife had a baby. What was Eve's Bible? She had a baby. You see, just taking the natural birth and Jesus saying everyone that's born of the Spirit is like the wind blowing. This thing is spiritual. And the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost like the wind blowing. And 3,000 got saved. Pew, new birth. It's amazing. They begin to see and understand, and we begin to see and understand. And dear soul, I'm going to tell you something. This can give you great hope for your child that's not going to church. This can give you great hope for that grandchild who doesn't seemingly want to know or have anything to do with God. You've given them a Bible for their birthday or Christmas or something, and you've prayed for them, and you've done everything you can to give them to understand God. Don't have any care for God. Listen, it's not of him that runneth or him that willeth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. For it is God who wills to do his good pleasure. Salvation is by grace, dear soul. God's going to do it. And you better be thankful for Romans 1:20, because those invisible things of God that you are so desirous for your sons and daughters and granddaughters, grandsons to see, they are clearly seen, understood by the things that are made, and it is done so by the Holy Spirit. Keep praying. Do what we read you this morning in the, not this morning, in the other lesson, number one of invisible things, clearly seen in lesson number one, against hope, Abraham believed in hope. Seemed like that nothing was going to happen. But you've got to understand Romans 1:20 is powerful. God can be clearly seen by the things that are made. You let God, I hate that phrase. You don't let God do anything. You wait on God to perform his work. Where's the sacrifice? Good question, logical question. We got the fire, we got the knife. But Lord, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham didn't want to tell Isaac, you're the sacrifice. I'm going to kill you. Because that wasn't going to happen. He didn't know it, but that's what God wasn't going to allow that to happen. And he said that which only he could have said, and the Lord would provide himself a sacrifice, and he did. Not just that ram caught in a thicket, but the Lord Jesus Christ on that same mountain by the same Father and Son going up on Mount Moriah in the Old Testament is Mount Calvary in the New Testament, and God provided his own self, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, Abraham saw my day and he was glad. It was that hope that he had in Christ that caused him not to worry about not having any hope in Isaac. Eve had a baby, got me a man from God. Enoch lived 65 years. So what? Nothing to say about it. But when Methuselah was born, he walked with God 300 years. And he walked so close with God without a Bible tract society, without a local church, without a Bible, without a preacher, without Sunday school, with just God. He walked so much with God after that baby was born that God said, bring him on home. He's done walked so much with me. He's closer to my house than he is to his. Just bring him on in. Isn't that amazing? Nothing but a birth. That is amazing. Look at verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah. Wow. He called his name Noah. Why did he call his name Noah? Saying, this same shall comfort us. Guess what Noah means? It means rest or comfort. How did he know that Noah was going to be the one that saved all of humanity and preserved a life on earth rather than anybody else? He was the only one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was because of a birth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Dear soul, listen. You don't know how many people in this world from the beginning to the end have had God manifest himself to them by the natural birth. Some of the best opportunities that I have ever had to witness to families is in birthing centers or in hospitals when children have been born and you visit with them and the mother's just delighted and tickled and the dad is just swelled up with pride and he's just thinking, you know, how can this be? And he holds that little old child in his arms and he said, I can't believe I did this. And he knows that he didn't do that. He didn't do it without his wife. She didn't do it without her husband. And neither one of them could do it without God, because a lot of people have tried to have children and couldn't. So there's something about the natural birth being one of the things that evidence things unseen. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Enoch had a boy, started walking with God, walked with him so closely and so purely. He walked with him 300 years, and he walked so close with God, God took him and he didn't die, just took him on home with him. And then one of Methuselah's offspring, was named Noah. Lamech, and that's his name, wasn't it? Yeah, Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. Man, I'd hate to have a kid at 182 years. Be bad to have a child running around, a teenager running around, you about 200 years old. But he lived 182 years and begat a son. What happened then? Same thing that happened with Eve. I've got a man from the Lord. Same thing that happened to Enoch. Started walking with God after the birth. When that daddy looked at that baby, and they put that child in that man's hand, Lamech's arms, he said, "Mama, I know what we're going to name him." She said, "What is that, Papa?" "We're going to name him Noah." "We ain't got nobody named Noah in our family. Why do you want to name him Noah?" "Because God has revealed something to me through this birth, and I'm seeing that which is invisible, and I want you to understand and know that God's going to comfort the human race through Noah and going to preserve the human race by this young child." What's your point, preacher? I'm telling you that just one thing, natural birth, is one of the things that is made that can reveal the power and godhood of God so that we are without excuse. Let's go on over to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. There's a royal soul down in Egypt. Name is Joseph. Had a hard life. His own brother sold him into slavery. How horrible that must have been. Ishmaelites and Midianites took him down to Egypt, and a man of a different look and different language bought him, owns him. And he goes through all of that, and finally, God exalts him to the second highest seat of the land, brings him as high as Pharaoh. And then he gets married to an Egyptian woman, a priest's daughter, and she has children. And in Genesis 41, in verse number 50, Genesis 41, 50, "And unto Joseph were born two sons, before the years of famine came, during the years of plenty. And Asenath, the daughter of, good gracious, Potipherah, priest of On, bare unto him." So the priest's daughter, he married her. She had two children during the days of plenty before the famine came. Now, verse 51, Joseph is now second highest in the land of Pharaoh. Got more to eat than you shake a stick at. Everybody is just amazed at how much corn and grain and all is coming in. God is making Egypt more prosperous than she's ever been, but God's fixing to make the rest of the world less prosperous than they've ever been. He's going to send a famine and break the staff of bread throughout the entire earth. But while all of this plenty is coming in, and since he's doing good with his wife and he's doing fine in Egypt, she has two children during that time. What happens? Genesis 41, 51. "And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, which means forgetting. For God, saith he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." This baby coming, honey, I want you to know that this baby, holding that baby in his arms, he said, "You know what? All the bitterness and the aggravation that I have felt all my life and the horrible things that I've been through, this birth of this boy ends all that, and I'm going to name him Manasseh, which means that I'm forgetting all the rough times and the bad things that happened to me." The Bible said, forgetting those things which are behind and press forward towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Well, listen, we need to think on things that are of good report and so forth. And that's what that birth of that baby did to Joseph. Next verse, Genesis 41:52. And the name of the second child, second boy, that his wife Asenath presented to him, called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Manasseh means what? Forgetting. Ephraim means what? Fruitful. He said, I've been fruitful in the land of my affliction. I'm going to name this baby that, because every time anybody calls Manasseh's name, they're going to say, Joseph is resting and forgetting all the hard times that he had. And every time Joseph called Manasseh, get up now, you got to go to school. Come on in here and eat your breakfast. Be sure to wash behind your ears, Manasseh. He was saying forgetful. It reminded him of that. It was a word, it was a message, it was a sermon that was visible before him and his wife every single day of Manasseh's life. And then she had another child. What are you going to name him? Fruitful. Why? Because we got more than what we can imagine. It's unbelievable how much fruitfulness and produce is being manifested in Egypt now. That we are having more than we've ever had. And God is making me be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Peter said, after you have suffered a while, God will establish you. And Joseph had suffered a while, and God had established him as the second highest in the land, and he named his children that because their births symbolizes that which cannot be seen. I'm forgetting that which is behind Manasseh. I am so fruitful, it made me fruitful in the land of my affliction, Ephraim. And so he says, those invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Let's go over to the New Testament. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And verse 24. Luke chapter 1, verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. Elizabeth and Zacharias couldn't have children. It said, I'm an old man in verse 18 and stricken in years. We can't have any children, just like Abraham. My body's dead and my wife's womb is dead and sealed up. But now she has, she's going to have a child, going to have John the Baptist. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, it's a revelation from God. John the Baptist's mother said, I want to savor this time between me and God alone. I don't want there to be any showers. I don't want my picture to be in the paper and say, we're announcing the birth or announcing the conception or whatever. This between me and God. It was so powerful on John the Baptist's mother that she hid herself. Why did she hide herself? Well, there's one verse given to tell us. She said, thus hath the Lord dealt with me. It was, again, a personal revelation between her and God. It was a personal revelation between Eve and God. It was a personal revelation between Enoch and God. It was a personal revelation between Joseph and God. God hath dealt with me in such a great way. What are you saying? I'm telling you that the whole world is rendered inexcusable for not knowing God because all of us have been physically born into this world. And the physical birth bespeaks of the spiritual birth, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit, like the wind that blows. And the wind that blew to birth in the spiritual kingdom of Christ and the gospel kingdom happened at Pentecost. God is giving us witness. We are without excuse. Well, My grandson won't come to church and he's out there in the world. Trust the Lord. Pray for him. Against hope, believe in hope. And understand and know that God can and still will move through natural things. God does not change. He did this in the Old Testament. He's doing it here in the New Testament. And you know people that have had their lives changed by their children being born. God is still God. You believe in God and hope in Him. So she hides herself and she says, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein He looked on me." God looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. It's amazing. Verse number 31. Here's the angel now come to Mary. Verse 31, we get, and the angel said, let's read verse 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Mary, God. Birth. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son." Not going to have a daughter and not going to have a miscarriage. You're going to have a son. And here's what you're going to name him. You shall name him Jehovah Savior, Jesus. Jesus. He said, "And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And Jesus Christ is still ruling and reigning on the throne of his father David. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom shall there be no end." Mary said unto the angel, "Wait a minute. This doesn't include a man." And the angel said, "But it includes God." When Cain was born, it doesn't say that Eve looked at Adam and kissed him and said, "Look what you did." She said, "I have gotten me a man from God." It was a personal thing between her and the Lord. Therefore, this physical thing revealed the spiritual things and caused her to attribute this to God. Enoch, 65 years, nothing. He just wasted space. But he had a son, Methuselah, and then for 300 years, he walked so closely with God that God took him and he didn't die. Amazing. The world's in a mess. Things are becoming more ungodly. God said, "It repenteth me that I have made man, and I'm going to destroy them all." And Lamech said, "My wife just had a baby. Well, I wouldn't want to bring a baby into this ungodly world. What you going to name him?" "Noah." "You going to name him Noah? You know what that means?" "Yeah, it means rest. God has revealed to me by the birth of this child, there came a spiritual revelation with it. Dear soul, listen. Night unto night uttereth speech, and day unto day uttereth knowledge." And I got that backwards, but that's okay. There is no language where the physical things, their voice is not heard. The voice of natural procreation, the voice of natural providence is heard. So they are without excuse. Nobody in the entire world can look at God at the day of judgment, standing at the great white throne and say, "You didn't tell me, you didn't send a preacher over there to my house." God said, "You had the same preacher that Noah had. You had the same preacher that Abraham had. Did you ever see the stars of the sky?" "Yep, that's all Abraham had." "Did you ever see the sand of the sea?" "Yep, that's all Abraham had." So that you are without excuse. Close your mouth. The whole world is becoming guilty before God because I gave them witness. Wake up. Wake up, people. Listen. That's what she said. And listen, "I know not a man." Verse 35 of Luke chapter 1. Luke 1:35. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. So is everyone born of the Spirit. And the power of the Highest, even revealing his power and Godhead, shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, that holy one, which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. The angel is there to tell her about her conception, but he's also got another revelation from God concerning conception, and that is Elizabeth has conceived John the Baptist, has conceived a son in her old age, which is the 6th month. She's already 6 months pregnant, who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Wow. Ain't got a husband. Don't matter. There ain't never been a baby born of a woman out of her body. But Eve said, I've got me a man from God. Lamech, you couldn't melt God and pour him on Lamech. 65 years, nothing. But Methuselah's born, and now you can't get him away from God. 300 years, he walked with God. And he walked with God in spirit and in truth so devoutly that God took him on home. Dear soul, listen. Your children and your grandchildren and we ourselves, we have had enough revelation of God just by births in our families and in our friends' families. And in our relatives' families, we have had enough births to condemn us 100 times over if we yet don't know God. For the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The man said, there ain't no sense in me making out a will because I ain't going to die yet. The man said, I ain't going to buy a cemetery plot because I ain't going to die yet. How you know you ain't going to die yet? Because the Lord has promised me a birth. I am going to see God born as a human being. Wow. Read on. Listen. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. I wish that was the way it was today, that people would come by the Spirit into the gathering together of religion. And when the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him, Christ, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Simeon, how long have you been coming to this temple? All my life. You're an old man, right? Yep. Why do you keep coming? A lot of people that started out when you did don't come anymore. Because I'm coming for a greater reason than they were. They were just coming out of, you know, tradition, just what we do. But I'm coming because God has promised me something invisible that I'm going to see through the visibility of a child born. Listen, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the miraculous birth of the incarnate God, and you're going to be able to hold that which is going to die on Calvary's Hill in your arms, and God is going to finish out what he started, because he's not only Alpha to tell you you're not going to die till you see this, but he's also Omega to make sure it comes to pass, and you will actually hold that baby in your arms And man, when he did, the Spirit of God flooded out of him, and he said, "Now let thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen the salvation of God." Isn't that amazing? You know that there's other people standing around him in the temple. And you know people say, "That's Mary and Joseph, and that's that child that they said the shepherds did this, and the angels did that, and all this." And people say, "Right, I want to get a look at him." They're all gathered around, and Simon said, "Now let the Lord... Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, because I have seen the salvation of God." Did you understand that he was given a witness to all those Jews in that temple for that day concerning that this baby was God born in the flesh? Amazing. He saw that which was invisible. Other people couldn't see it, but he saw that which was invisible. Amazing. And Joseph and his mother marveled, verse 33, at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them, or Simeon, I don't know how to pronounce it. Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." He prophesied to his mom and daddy that they didn't understand. They didn't know. They didn't perceive some of the things that were going on. But this man did, and he actually witnessed to them. Matthew 1:21. We're coming down to the end. I appreciate your patience. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Oh, dear soul, what a wondrous thing it is to see that the immaculate conception of Jesus Christ in the womb of the Virgin is a pattern of your birth and my birth in the Spirit. Mary didn't volunteer, you didn't either. Mary couldn't have done it because she didn't have a man to help her. No man can help you get saved. You're not saved by man's help. God alone can do it. The holy thing that's birthed within you, that Spirit of grace and of God that's birthed within you, is done by the Lord himself. John chapter 1. And verse number 12, John 1:12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Ain't God good? Let me give you a warning. Psalm 28 and verse number 5. Let me give you a warning. You be careful walking through this life and not seeing anything of God. You let this message make you jealous and say, "The Lord, why haven't I seen this?" You cry out to God and ask God for mercies, because listen to this, Psalm 28 and verse 5. "Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up." When saw we thee a hunger, inasmuch as you've done it under the one of the least of these? Have you got some poor person among you? What is that but God giving you something in order for you to see that which is invisible? When saw we thee in prison? Did you walk right past those people that were in prison? You could have sent a card or called them or visited them and tried to encourage them. Did you try to support a prison ministry? I had a a city, city jail ministry, a county jail ministry, a state jail ministry, and a federal jail ministry. Dear soul, God showed me so many things in that, it's unbelievable. But oh, dear soul, the greatest thing that I ever saw in all that was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So we see these things that are invisible of the greatness and the glory of God Almighty. And we see them by the things that are made. And God says in Psalm 28 and verse 5, you be careful. Don't you walk through life and not regard the works of the Lord. You be careful and don't you fail to see the operation of His hands, or He shall destroy you. You say, wait a minute, Lord, I didn't know. Yes, you did. The S-U-N came up every morning and it declared the glory of God. The moon came up every night. The stars came up. And that's all the Bible that Abraham had. Stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. You and your family go to the beach every year. Used to. And you've seen all this. But do you know God? Dear soul, you shall be held accountable for not knowing God, because you have made God waste all of the substance on your riotous living, and you did not come to know Him who is invisible. God is so good. Lord willing, our brother Bobby Quick shall come and favor us with a, what do I call it, with a song. Well, it's with a hymn that he is going to play for us. And while he comes, let me read you Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun. In verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 19, you have the world book. Beginning with verse number 7 of Psalm 19, you have the word book. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Our brother Bobby Quick is very talented. We thank the Lord for his talent, that he has not had any formal training, but he has a gift, and he is so willing to share it with us, and we appreciate it so much. And one of the things that we missed in meeting together is the music of the church. So now we'll turn it over to Brother Bobby.